Okay, today's daf is Me'ila Yud Chet. We're going to start at the top, at the Mishnah. Ha'orla v'kil'ei ha'kerem. Okay, orla is fruits that are within the first 3 years of planting a tree, and kil'ei ha'kerem are when you combine grain that's in a vineyard, and they join together. Both of those things are forbidden for benefit and for eating. Okay, so one can't eat them, and you can't even get benefit from them. So orla and kil'ei ha'kerem, we're continuing with things that can join each other. Mitzdarfin zeim ze. Okay, they join together to create a shear of, okay, so now a shear of what? So there's a bit of a debate about this. Some people say it's a shear of a kezayit for malkot. Okay, and then the question is, how could you get malkot on half of orla and half of kil'ei ha'kerem when the lotase is a different lotase? So there's different possible answers given. There's a pasuk that says, this pasuk that says, lo tochal kol toeva, very nudalid, pasuk gimel. And according to Rabbi Meir in Avodah Zarah, which is strange because it's an opinion that we don't really accept, so the fact that some people say that this is what our Mishnah is based on is a little bit problematic, which is why it leads other people not to explain the Mishnah this way. But it says, lo tochal kol toeva, he says that includes any isurei achila joined together, anything that's despicable, anything that's asur. There's some other potential pasukim brought. Some people say it comes from the notar and pigal pasuk because they're holy. You can't eat, right, the pigal and notar, we said, because from that pasuk, and then maybe these also are considered holy. Anyway, a few questions asked there. Some people say that the mitzrafim zeim ze is not to get malkot. The mitzrafim zeim ze is both of them are only batel 1 in 200. Okay? The assumption is, there was actually a note in the Koran that I'd never heard before, but it quoted an idea. If you remember, we learned that Truma is batel 1 in 100, right? Normally it's batel b'shishim. Truma is 1 in 100, and Orla and kil'ei ha'kerem are 1 in 200. So we gave a reason there in the footnote there that the reason is because they're forbidden both in achila and in hana'ah, benefit and consumption, and therefore there's double the amount. And that what we're talking about mitzdarfim here is if they get into a mixture of permitted, how, right, they can both be joining to calculate the amount, which actually makes it much more chamor, right, to calculate the amount that it has to fall into a pile of, you know, it would have to be, let's say, a kazayit of this one, a kazayit of that one would have to fall into, you'd have to have 400 times the amount rather than 200 times each one, right? It would be, they would join together to basically forbid a ta'arovet. Okay, rather than looking at each one independently, right? 200 can I get that one and 200 can I get that one? No, you would need 200 really can I get both of them together. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ein mitzdarfim. Okay, he says they don't join together. Okay, either it's because he holds against Rabbi Meir that we don't join the shirim together from Malkot, but that one could theoretically think that, but the Gemara is going to give a different reason why Rabbi Shimon says ein mitzdarfim. So the Gemara says, "Mitzarich Rabbi Shimon letzarufe." Would he? How could Rabbi Shimon even say "Ein mitzdarfin"? "Ein mitzdarfin" seems to imply what? Okay, now the Gemara assumes here that we're talking about malkot. That it's for the shear of eating malkot of what consumption that would be mechayvi malkot. Why would Rabbi Shimon even need for you to say this and this together is mitzdarich? Because it says in a braita, "Vahatanya Rabbi Shimon Omer kol shehu lemalkot." Any forbidden food that you eat, you get malkot even if you eat less than a kezayit. So why would he need to say ein mitzdarfim, they don't join together for a shear of a kezayit, when a shear of a kezayit, according to Rabbi Shimon, is a totally irrelevant thing when it comes to malkot? So the Gemara answers, tenei ein srichin mitzaref. Okay, you should read it as, you don't need to be mitzaref the two, exactly for the reason that Rabbi Shimon says, because to get malkot, you don't need a shear of a kezayit. Okay, new Mishnah, that was a very quick one. Habeged, vehasak, vehaor, vehamapatz. Sorry, I didn't read it right. Habeged, vehasak, hasak, vehaor, haor, vehamapatz. Kulam mitzdarfim zeim ze. Okay, you need some background in dinei tum'ah. Okay, these are materials that can be makabal tum'ah. And the following items, okay, we have a clothing, a sack, leather, a hide, and a mat. These all have different shiurim for impurities. Okay, in order to become impure, if it's a beged, it needs to be 3 by 3 tvachim. If it's a sack, it needs to be 4 by 4 tvachim. If it's hide, it needs to be 5 by 5. And if it's a mat, it needs to be 6 by 6. The assumption is that unless it's each item, unless it's that minimum size, it's not anything anybody would use. So let's say, you know, a baguette, 3x3 is already useful. But if it was a hide, let's say, a 3x3 piece of hide isn't even useful, so it's only going to become impure once it gets to the size of 5x5, for example. Okay, so note that the Mishnah says that each one can join with the one next in line. Okay, they can't join, like a baguette can't join with a oar, for example. Okay, a baguette and a sock and the oar and the mapatz, kulan mitzarfim ze im ze. Okay, that means if you have a small piece of a baguette next to a small piece of a sock, and together it adds up to the shear, and it would have to add up to the shear of the more mekel one. Okay, so it would have to be, the baguette and the sock would have to be 4x4 together, and the sock and the oar would have to be 5x5 together, and the oar and the mapatz, the mat and the hide, would have to be 6 altogether. They can be mitzaref, each one with the one next to it. Amar Rabbi Shimon, matam, why is it that they're mitzaref when they have different shirim, right? Didn't we say before, if it has different shirim, they can't join? Mipnei shehen ru'in litameh b'moshav. All of these things can be tamei tumat moshav, which is like a zav and a zavah that sit on something. They're metame by sitting on it. So if all of these things, if they're a tefach by one tefach, they're already metame. So since they all have the same shiur when it comes to moshav, tumat moshav, therefore we're going to say that they join together. Okay, so while for regular tuma they don't, you know, they have different sizes, but for this they have all the same size, and therefore for other things we're going to be able to join them together. But again, as we see from the Mishnah, it seems that it's only the two that are right next to each other, and not, you know, let's say the mapatz and the beged. Okay, tan brayta kitza mikulan v'asa mehem beged lemishkaf. If you cut from these, okay, and you made from a beged sock or a mapat, and you made a beged to sit down on or to lie down on, shlosha lemoshav, shlosha. Okay, so the shear for, okay, this is, we're going to see different shearim here for different things. So if you combined a bunch of these together and you made a beged to lie down on, okay, that's what we call tumat midras. That would be shlosha on shlosha, would be the shear that you would need. If you cut it lemoshav, to sit on, okay, that would be tefach al tefach, like we said before, right? A tefach, right? Meaning one by one tefach. And la'achiza, if it's to hold something, okay, which we'll see in a minute what exactly that means, it's kol shehu, it's any sort of, any shi'or, meaning even a teeny little bit will be tameh. My la'achiza, what is this shi'or of achiza? Amarish lakish, amar abiyanai, shaken omed linavla. Okay, linavla is for embroidering. Okay, they would smooth the threads by, you know, to strengthen them, and then they would wrap around their fingers, and I was thinking of like a thimble, so that you wouldn't get cut from the needle. So for that, you would use any size beged to wrap around your finger. It would be a very small piece. That would already be, that was one perush of la'achiza. And this bimat nita tana, and a brayta, they say, ho'il v'ra'oy l'kotzitzei te'enim. When they would cut the figs, they would put it around there, they would wrap this around their finger, kind of like a glove, so that you wouldn't get all sticky from the sticky figs. Okay, hadron alach kodshei mizbeach, now we're starting the fifth parak. Okay, the fifth parak, as the last parak we saw many, many times, it was all about seiruf, putting two different things together. Now we're really getting into the real chiyuv of mi'ila. Okay, now there's different ways that you can be transgress the sin of mi'ila, which again is shogeg. It's only when you do it accidentally, and it's misuse of consecrated property. So one way of doing it is when you benefit. Okay, you actually benefit from the hektesh, so that's considered mi'ilah. Another mi'ilah is called mi'ilah shel hotza'ah. Okay, that's when you take the item that was hektesh and you use it outside the mikdash. You kind of take it out of the mikdash, but it's not just, we'll see, it's not just taking it physically out of the mikdash. You haven't necessarily done anything, but it could be by transferring ownership to someone. It could be somehow using it for, or maybe taking it out and using it for some purpose. Okay, then you're chayav in mi'ila. What we're going to get to is, what is not included here? Let's say you just damage it. If you just damage it, so you haven't gotten any hana, right? You've done something destructive, right? This is vandalism, right? Do you get pleasure? I mean, maybe you could say that people, when they vandalize something, they get pleasure from it. But that's not really hana'ah. That's not the way we define hana'ah, right? Just like we say mitzvot lav lahenot nitzu. You might say, well, if, you know, it's good to do a mitzvah. Maybe that's hana'ah. That's not hana'ah. Hana'ah means I ate something, I did something that affected me and did something good for me. So if you damage hekdesh, that's not considered mi'ilah. Okay, so that's some of the things we're going to discuss in this next parak. Hanehene min hekdesh shavah pruta. Okay, so you get benefit from hekdesh, the value we've already learned, that the value of benefiting is shavah pruta, the amount of one coin. Af al pi shelo pagam, okay, even if you didn't damage the item itself, but you benefited without damaging, ma'al divrei Rabbi Akiva. He says, you're already chayv me'ila. Chachamim omrim, chachamim say, it depends. Kol davar sheyesh bo pgam, lo ma'al ad sheyifkom. V'she'ein bo pgam, kevan shenehene ma'al. If it has the opportunity for you to damage it, and we're going to get into details of what that means, okay? But if it can be damaged, then you're only chayv me'il if you actually damaged it. But if it can't be damaged, then as soon as you benefit from it, you already have me'ila. Ketzad. So immediately the Mishnah is going to tell us, what does this mean? Natan katla betzavara. You put on a necklace on your neck, or taba biyada, or shata bekos shel zahav, or you drank from a cup of gold that was a klei sharet or something. It was hekdesh. All these items were hekdesh. You put jewelry on. So those are not things that generally get damaged. Right? It would take a lot to damage something like that. Kevan shenehene ma'al. So as soon as you get pleasure because you put the jewelry on your neck, you already benefited. That's me'ila, even if you didn't damage it. But lavash bechaluk, kisa betalit, bikaba kardom, lo ma'al ad sheyifkom. Okay, but if you wore a shirt, or you covered yourself with a talit, or you chop down trees with an axe, or I don't know if there's a better word for kardom. Okay, so if you chop trees with this axe, you're only chayav if you're pogem. So now, how does this work? Because we said before that you're not chayav me'ila if you do damage, and here we're saying you have to do damage. What this means is I wore a shirt and I caused some wear and tear on the shirt. Okay, so I benefited from it. There is benefit here. I benefited by wearing the shirt, but I wore it down. I benefited from using the axe for chopping my trees, but as I used it, since the axe can get damaged, I'm only chayav if I damaged it. Okay, so I'm not chayav in me'il if I only benefited from it. Okay, so according to Chachamim, you need both benefit and damage in an item that can easily be damaged, that can depreciate in value. Okay, so I have to cause depreciation in the item in order to be chayav me'ila. Hanehene min achatat. Now, this was a line in the Mishnah that we quoted earlier in the Gemara twice at least already, and it was a little bit strange, hard to understand what exactly it was talking about, but we'll get to it later in the Gemara. Hanehene min achatat kishihi chaya. If the animal is still alive, lo ma'al ad sheyifkom. But kishimeta kevan shenehene ma'al. So again, this distinction the Chachamim talk about with whether it can be nifgam or not depends on whether the animal's alive or dead, which seems a little odd. And the Gemara is going to later say, as we saw earlier in the Gemara, actually, we already saw this, which is the case where it's alive, where you're only going to be ma'al ad sheyifkom, is in a case where it has a mum, it's blemished. And if you remember, when it's blemished, the value is going to matter, because when something's blemished, what happens? Once it's blemished, we redeem it, and its value is going to depend on what, right? It could, if you damage it, well, then it'll cost less than the shuk. But if I'm bringing it as a korban and it gets a little bit damaged, again, damage doesn't mean blemish. Damage just means, you know, a little something is not good with it, and you make it go down in value, it's not going to make a difference. Because no matter what, you're just sacrificing on the mizbeach, and what it's worth right now is irrelevant. And therefore, the assumption is kishimeta is when it was tmimah, behemah, that was in good shape. Kevan shenehene ma'al, as soon as you benefit, you're already chayav me'ila. You don't need to be pogame because it's got kedushat aguf and not kedushat damim. Only when its value is important does that matter, and you have to be pogame in order to be chayav me'ila. Okay, Tana. So now there's a bright about the following thing. So just to remind you of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, According to Rabbi Akiva, even if you don't damage it, you're chayav a me'ila. According to Chachamim, it depends on which type of item it is. Breaks down into things that can be damaged easily and things that can't be damaged easily. So Tana, Mode, according to the following Braita, Mode, Rabbi Akiva l'chachamim, b'davar sheyesh bo pgam, which sounds very strange. Rabbi Akiva agrees with Chachamim, in the event, right, when there is pgam, and that's when it's an item that can be damaged, then they agree that you're only chayav me'il if it's damaged. Well, then it sounds like Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva say the exact same thing. So, b'may kamitlike, what's the root of their machloket? Amarava, b'levush mitzia umil malay. Okay, what does this mean? Or mal malay? It's number one, levush mitzia, which means a beged that's in between. Some people wear layered things. So let's say you're wearing three layers. So the middle layer is the least likely to get damaged. So in a case like that, they would disagree. Because Rabbi Akiva would say, oh, that's not an item that really has gum. And Chachamim will say, oh no, it does have gum. And mil malay is very, very thin flax, which can get damaged easily, but because it's worth so much money, it's a very expensive cloak because it's very thin and very, very, what's the word? You could say precious, right? You'd have to be very careful with it. Because of that, people don't wear it very often. And therefore, it's unlikely to get damaged because people just leave it in their closet, right? It's like when my kids were little, I would always, if my mom would buy them white shirts, I would say, oh my God, this is the silliest thing because they'll get dirty in a second. So because of that, they never wore it actually because I said, I'm not going to put this on them and they're going to spill all their food on it and get it, it'll look dirty. So they just never ended up wearing it. So on the one hand, it was something that could get easily damaged. On the other hand, it was something that really never got damaged because it just sat there in the closet. Okay, so therefore with those, that's what their machloket is about. Okay, where Rabbi Akiva would say they don't need to get damaged because those are not items that get damaged easily. And Chachamim would say, no. So it is an item that could theoretically get damaged just because you're wearing it in the middle layer. It still could get damaged. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to have a braita here. It's going to learn out all sorts of halachot about mi'ila. Nefesh. Okay, so the pasuk about mi'ila was said, nefesh kitim o mal v'chata'a b'shkaga. Okay, we'll notice these words, we're going to darshan them. Okay, so nefesh, kitim o mal, we have the double lashon, as we darshan that. V'chata'a b'shkaga, and then you sin by accident. So first they darshan nefesh. Echad yachid ve'echad anasi ve'echad ha-mashiach. An individual, a king, a nasi, and the Mashiach. That's not the Mashiach, it's the Kohen HaMashuach, right? It's a Kohen Gadol. So, Kitim O Ma'al, now they're going to darshan the next few words. Why double Lashon? Ein Ma'al Ela Shinoi. Say, what is the love? First, they're actually not going to do the double, they're just going to say the Shoresh Mi'ila means you've changed something. So, in order to be Chayav Mi'ila, you have to change something. Where do they get this from? V'chein Hu Omer, first Pasuk, Ish ish ki tiste ishto uma'ala bo ma'al. We're going to see two other psukim where the root ma'al is used. One is by the sota. It says when his wife is sote uma'ala bo ma'al, what did she do? She changed men, basically. Ve'omer, and also when in context, and this is a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, vayima'alu be'elohe avotehem vayiznu achare haba'alim avotazara. They replaced their god with a different god. Okay, they replaced Hashem with Elilim. So again, there's a shinoi here. Okay, so the root there, right, it says, Vayima'alu. Yachol pagam v'lo nehene. O nehene v'lo pagam. You might have thought, okay, we're going to have a whole list of a bunch of things you might have thought. You might have thought, maybe you're chayav me'ila when you damaged something but didn't benefit, like what I said in the beginning of today's shiur, right? If you just damaged something, you might have thought you'd be chayav me'ila. Or what if you're neheneh v'lo pagam? What if you benefited but you didn't reduce it in value, as we saw before, that right, if it can be reduced in value, then in that case you're not going to be chayav if you only benefited. Ube mechubar lakarka, or maybe something that's attached to the ground. We're going to learn that me'ila is not applicable for things that are still attached to the ground. Ube shaliach she'asa shlichuto. If a shaliach does, now normally, what do we say with a shaliach? So we have a concept on the one hand, the shlucho shel adam kimoto. So if I send a shaliach to do something, right, that shaliach can act on my behalf, like a yipoy koach. But we also have a concept when it comes to averot, that ein shaliach lidvar avera. That means that if I tell you to jump off the Empire State Building and you do it, right? Am I responsible because I told you to do it? Of course not, right? That's what we always say when we were growing up. Our parents always said to us, right? Well, if someone told you to do that, would you do it? Right? You have to be your own person and think for yourself. And therefore, even though we have shlucho shel adam kamoto, we have a concept that ein shliach lidvar avera. Well, in the case of me'ila, it's an exception to the rule. And shaliach she'asa shlichuto, you might have thought that the person who sent him, if I send you to misuse consecrated property, again, it's all by accident here, but if I send you to do it and I didn't realize it was consecrated, I'm responsible and not you. Okay, even though generally we say shliach and shliach lidvar avera. So you might have thought shliach she'oseh shlichuto, the shliach would be chayav. Talmud lomar, that's why the pasuk says, now we're going to darshan another word in the pasuk, v'chata. Okay, that doesn't really help us, how we learn all those things from v'chata. So they're going to say, well, what's this v'chata? What does it teach us? Ne'emar chet b'truma, v'ne'emar chet b'me'ila. The word chet appears by truma, and the word chet appears by me'ila, so we're going to have what we call a gzera shava. What's true for one is going to be true for the other. So let's go through and learn all these things out of truma. Ma chet amor b'truma, if a non-kohen eats truma, so when is he chayav? Pogem v'nehene. He has to be, number one, he damages it, right? When I eat someone else's truma food, so number one, I've benefited, and number two, I've damaged because I've eaten your stuff. I've consumed it. So it's damaged now. So since truma is only pogem v'nehene, therefore, right, umisha pagam nehene. Okay, so number one, we're going to learn it has to be that I was pogem and nehene. Number two, misha pagam nehene. Right, it was the same person who did both. Right. When I ate your truma, I damaged it and I enjoyed the benefit of what I ate. So I did both things. So same thing by me'ila. U'bedavar shepogem bo nehene. And it's also, I benefited from the actual item that I damaged. U'pgimato v'hana'ato ke'echad. And it all happened in one act. Right? One act of eating, I both benefited and damaged. Ooh, betalush min akarka, and truma is obviously only if it's already been detached, because you're not chayav in truma before it's detached from the ground. Ooh, now here's the weird one. Okay, this is going to be a little bit, everything else is kind of parallel. This isn't exactly parallel. Ooh, b'shaliach she'asa shlichuto. Now, if I send someone to eat truma, and they're a zar, they're chayav, not me. Because we do hold ein shliach lidvar avera. But what they mean here, b'shaliach she'asa shlichuto, is that if I sent a shaliach to be mafrish truma for me, it's effective. So from there, they learn. That's a bit of a weird drasha, because there it's something positive, and by us it's something negative, right? It's an avera. There it's not an avera. But since they learn out from, since shlichut works by truma, and we're learning chet chet from truma, therefore we're going to learn that shlichut works, meaning if I send a shaliach to do me'ila, I'm chayav and me'ila, and not the shaliach. So therefore, since all those things are by truma, af chet ha'amor b'me'ila, pogem v'nehene, u'misha pagam nehene, right? In other words, number one, okay, pogem v'nehene, you have to both damage and benefit. Let's say if I just damaged, it won't be enough, or if I just benefited, it won't be enough. U'misha pagam nehene, but let's say I take the consecrated property and I give it to you. In other words, I've removed it from Hekdesh, but I damaged it, but you benefited, then you're not chayav. U'bedavar shepogem bo nehene. It has to be that the hana'a was from the actual item that I damaged. U'pgimato v'hana'ato ke'echad. Both have to happen at the same time. Okay, if they didn't happen at the same time, then I'm not chayav. U'betalush min akarka. And u'beshaliach she'asa shlichuto. So again, the person who sends him is chayav. Okay, we're going to continue to darshan the pasuk. Ein li ela ochel. Okay, we only have if someone eats. But what about nehene b'davar she'ein bo pgam? Okay, so far, what did we say from truma? We learned by eating, you've damaged. So you might have just thought eating. And nehaneh b'davar she'ein bo pgam. So ein li ala ochel. But what about nehaneh b'davar she'ein bo pgam minayin? How do we know if I benefit from something that isn't just, and as according to this, it sounds like, if you remember, what did our Mishnah say? There's two types. There's items that generally get damaged, and there you're going to need to do damage. But an item that doesn't generally get damaged, so there just eating is sufficient. So how do, or just benefiting is sufficient without damaging. So how do I know that? Minayin. And achilato va'achilat chavero. More questions we're going to ask. Where do we know all this from? That if I eat, I take from the, let's say I eat part of it, and I give my friend to eat part of it, okay? How do we know that that, let's say I eat half a pruta, and I give you half a pruta to eat, how do we know that those two can join together? Hanayato v'hanayat chaviro. We're now going to have all different permutations of doing something with a friend. Either we both eat part of it, or we both benefit from part of it, or hanaato v'achilat chaviro. I benefit half a pruta, and you eat half a pruta. Or achilato v'hanayat chavero, or the reverse. I take it and I eat it, but I only eat half a pruta, and you, then I give you to benefit half a pruta's worth. How do we know? Shem mitzdarfim zeim zeh. And how do we know? Afilu lizman meruba. We learned this a long time ago, that if I eat a little bit of a pruta in the morning, and then tomorrow I eat another bit of a pruta, we're going to see even up to 3 years. All that joins together for a chiyuv of me'ila, which is a little extreme, the whole three-year thing. Minayin, how do we know this? Talmud lomar, tim o ma'al. Ah, now we get to the double lashon. Okay, tim o ma'al, mikol makom. Okay, so now, just to review our drashot, okay, let's just go back for a minute. So we started with nefesh, which meant a yachid, a nasi, and a kohen, a mashiach. Right, even a Kohen Gadol is going to be chayav. By the way, I didn't mention, but why would you think that a Kohen Gadol and a Nasi wouldn't be chayav in Mi'ila? Right, it's a bit of a strange thing to even suggest. Why would one think to suggest that they wouldn't be chayav? So they learn it out from the Shemen HaMishcha. The Shemen HaMishcha, there's a pasuk that says you can't use the Shemen HaMishcha for other things, and also you're chayav Mi'ila if you use it. But a Kohen Gadol and a Nasi, since they're supposed to use the Shemen HaMishcha, since theoretically they're in a job where that job, one needs the Shemen HaMishcha to anoint them, even if they don't necessarily, if you remember, we learned that the Nasi doesn't always get anointed, right? The kings don't always get anointed, depending on if their father was king, they don't get anointed. But since kings and Kohanim Gadolim are in the world of Shemen HaMishcha, they're not chayav mi'ila if someone were to use the Shemen HaMishcha on them in a random way, right? Not for anointing them. So because of that, you might have thought that maybe they're out of the whole din of mi'ila bichlal. And that's why the drasha needs to tell you, oh no, they're part of it. So again, nefesh, we said, comes to teach you, achad yachid, achad nasi, achad mashiach. Okay? Then, kitim ol ma'al comes to teach you, there has to be a shinoi. You have to, oh, so I didn't explain well what the shinoi is. What does it mean, the shinoi? You have to change what this item is destined for. It's supposed to be hektish, and you have to actually change it to chol. Okay, and they learn that from the shorish of mi'ila used in the sota and in avodah zarah. Then we learn from the word chata'a. We learn from truma all the details about you need to be pogem v'nehene, and at once and with the same item, and that it all has to happen. It has to be talush, the shaliach. Okay, all those laws we learned out from truma. And then from the double lashon of tim ol ma'al, we learn that if it's not a davar sheyesh bo pgam, then even benefiting alone, you're going to be chayav. And if you share with another person the shavapruta and you both benefit together, then you're also chayav. Okay, now we're just going to start this next section. Well, we won't finish it today, but we'll start with the beginning part, which is now we're going to ask about all these. All these drashot had to teach us something that supposedly wasn't obvious. So the question is, why weren't some of these things obvious? Okay, because it seems like they would be. Im machei ta'amor b'truma lo tzeref shtei achilot ke'echad, af chei ta'amor b'mila lo tzeref shtei achilot ke'echad. So if we're going to learn it from truma, so theoretically, what did we say? We said mi'ila is really a sin of stealing. And that's why we can be mitzaref two things together even if they didn't happen right at the same time. Whereas truma is an issue of eating. And in eating, it has to be within a certain time frame. So you might have thought, if we have chet by truma, just like there, you can't do two different times where you ate. Like if I ate today and I ate tomorrow, you're not going to join them together. You might have thought by me'ila, you're not going to join them together either. Uminayin achal hayom v'achal amachar v'afilu lizman merubas. So where do we learn that from? Talmud lomar tim'ol mal mikol makom. Okay, and that's why it says tim'ol mal. This is all coming to explain that last drasha, afilu lizman merubas. How do we know that? Because theoretically, you might have thought you learned it out from Truma, just like we learned everything else from Truma. No, but because of tim'ol mal, it teaches you even lizman merubas. Im ma'cheta amor b'truma pgimato v'hanato be'echad. Okay, you have to change the nusach. It's not ke'echad, it's be'echad. You might have thought, like truma, you're only chayav if I eat half a zayit of truma and you eat half a zayit of truma, and neither of us are kohanim. We're not chayav. We don't join together, right? My shi and your shi, and say, oh, the two of us together are chayav. Nobody says that. So you might have thought, since by truma pgimato v'hanato is only one be'echad. So you might have thought, same thing by me'ila. So minayin la'achilato v'achilat chavero, v'afilu mikam v'ad shalosh shanim, here comes the 3 years. So how do we know that if you eat and I eat each a half a pruta, and even from now until 3 years down the road, minayin tamud lomar tim'ol ma'al mikol makom. So that was all just to explain why it wouldn't have been so obvious that this would be the halacha by me'ila, and the reason is because you might have thought you'd learn those things from Truma, and the Tim Omal comes to teach you, no, we don't learn it from Truma, they each have their own unique halachot.